Hi, everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. Yeah, we're in the middle of a worldwide pandemic, global pandemic. And I want to thank you all for tuning in and putting up with this. This is crazy, crazy times. You know, there's an old Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Well, somebody cursed us. But have faith and everything will work out. We have a great show for you this week. Until we get through this, we're going to be resurrecting some of the great shows we've had over the last 18 months. And tonight we have a doozy. We have the lovely Eileen Guest, 30-year veteran of the Chicago, Sergeant Eileen Guest, 30-year veteran of the Chicago Police Department. She's retired now, but I think she's working for the Department of Aviation. She's also a Irish musician and singer. Just a wonderful lady, and we're so thrilled to be able to bring her back to you. So let's join the show from last January of 2019, when we had Eileen Guest on the show. Here she is. Enjoy the show. You got the roll
with the punches. Hey, everybody, your old friend Mike Houlihan here with Hibernian Radio. So glad you're listening. So glad you came back. And we're thrilled to be on our third episode tonight. Hey, how about that wild man, Neil Moss, last week? He was terrific. So one of the things we're trying to do is salute our first responders, our Irish first responders, and that's because in my long search through the mythology of Ireland and reading about the mythological warriors like Finn McCool and Oisín and people like that, I've always wanted to get into who are the modern-day Irish mythological warriors, and I think those are the first responders, our police, our firefighters, and our paramedics. Tonight we have one of the goddesses of modern-day Irish mythology, our old friend Eileen Guest. Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's just a pleasure. So you were a police officer for 30 years.
30 years.
You don't look that old.
I was 12 years old when I started.
Okay. Yeah. Now, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in St. Pete's.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's that, 79th around
79th
there?
And Kilbourne.
That's right. Yep. And where'd you go to high school?
Queen of Peace.
Oh, yeah. Good for you.
Right next door in Burbank.
Yeah. So then what happened? What did you go to college or what did you do?
No, I became an LPN. I was a licensed practical nurse.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. For 3 years, I worked in pediatrics at Palos Community Hospital.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it, but they were threatening to phase LPNs out at that time.
Licensed practical nurse.
Correct. Yeah. Right. Not an RN at the time. So I was either going to go back to school for my RN or do something completely different. Mm-hmm. Took the police test on a whim, really.
Yeah.
And when I got called, I had to decide whether I wanted to take it or not. And I thought I would take it and do it for 5 years and then maybe do something else. And then 30 years later.
Were you married at the time?
I was not married at the time. Okay. I was 22 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a baby. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you got on the force and you decided you liked it, huh?
I loved it.
Oh,
I
really?
Took to it like a fish to water. I loved everything about it. I loved the people. I loved the drama. I loved the excitement. Mostly I loved the other police officers. They're just, you know,
salt
wonderful,
of the earth,
wonderful
right?
people.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And so you were in the academy, what, that's that, 6, 9 months, something like that?
Yeah. We were at, you know, the academy that's still there on Jackson. And I started my career in the 5th District. I was actually in the old station on 115th Street.
Oh, yeah.
Kensington, before they built the new station, which is now an old station, at 727 East 111th Street.
Oh, but, I know. That's right near Morgan Park High School.
No.
It's farther east.
Yes, that's further east, 727
East. That's 22,
east.
Right?
Is yeah, that, the one is? You're talking about was 22, yes.
Okay.
I started out in 5. 5 has had a rough year this year. They've lost a few officers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those.
And so how long were you in the 5th District?
I was in 5 for 6 years.
What'd they have you doing?
Patrol duties. I'm a patrol officer.
In a car?
Yeah, running and gunning.
Yep. Wow.
22 years old, wild and crazy, and having a blast.
Who was your first partner?
Well, my FTO was a guy named Don Jones.
Yeah.
And he was really good to me because, you know, this was the early 80s. And when I was in the academy, it was the 1982, it was the first year that they had begun to hire more women. So my academy class was almost a third women. So I thought this was great. I thought this was seemed normal.
Yeah.
But I get out to the district, and there weren't a lot of women.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of times I'd be the only woman at roll call, and I thought, you know, this is weird. And it took a while for the officers to warm up to me, too. You know, they weren't so sure. A lot of those, you know, crabby old guys didn't want women on the job. They didn't think we could do it. So there was you had to walk the balance between wanting to prove yourself that you were capable of handling the job and not overdoing it and overcompensating.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that took some finesse,
right.
but I did what I had to do, and I tried to work hard, and then it didn't take long for officers to warm up after that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you take the sergeant test?
I was promoted to youth officer. I was a detective in the youth division for 9 years. Yes, I worked in Area 2 for 6 years, and Area 1, which is, Area 2 is now Area South. Area 1 is now Area Central. I was at Area Central for 3 years, and I did mostly child abuse and sex abuse investigations.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I bet that was hairy.
It was hairy, but I like to think that that's where I did my best work.
Yeah.
Because we put away people who did horrible things to children. Really, what's more satisfying than that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Any stories from those days you want to?
Gosh, you know, some of those stories are just really, you know, heartbreaking stories. They're really sad. I know people do, you know, terrible things to children, but.
And you're in your early 20s, seeing this.
Yeah, especially in 5. Those guys were, they were crazy. There were different times. There weren't, you know, security cameras everywhere, and nobody had cell phone cameras, and police officers know how to have a lot of fun, and, you know, here I am working with my FTO, you know, my field training officer, and I think we were at a domestic disturbance. We get out of the car, and here comes, down the street, here comes the Harold's Chicken Mobile. Did you ever see the Harold's Chicken Mobile?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, I think that's the Harold's Chicken Mobile, and pulls up behind our squad car, and 2 police officers get out of it. They're coming to our job. Now, I cannot confirm
nor
deny if they borrowed or commandeered the Harold's Chicken Mobile, but they did drive around all night answering their calls in the Harold's Chicken Mobile.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. So they were
good for them.
They were a fun bunch. Yep.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So they were having a good old time, and no one was going to beef, you know?
No, there were no cameras. Back then you could get in car chases, too. Now, you know, I understand why there's restriction on car chases these days. You don't want to put innocent lives in danger. But back then, we got in more, you know, car chases than usual. I remember one car chase that started in either Riverdale or Dalton. And it had been going for a while. And then
it came into Chicago?
Because we had radios that connected. You know, they were called Isburn radios that connected with the south suburbs. So we knew it was heading towards us because, you know, we're on the far south end there in 5. And it was coming, you know, northbound on Halsted from, like, 127th Street as it becomes Chicago, flying. Well, these guys finally lose control of the car, and they wrap themselves around a pole. And there's 7, 8 different suburban coppers chasing them. Yeah, we were waiting for them to join the chase, but then they cracked up, and we were there when that happened. And here comes, you know, it was either Riverdale or Dalton running up. Now, this guy's falling out of the driver's seat. He's obviously deceased after this horrible crash. But the Dalton officer says, "Freeze, you're under arrest." And we're like, dude, he's dead. You know, I think he's going to freeze. He's not going to give you a hard time anymore.
Oh, wow.
Just wild, you know, wild, crazy stuff. I mean, there's still, you know, dangerous, scary things that go on. But it was just a little more unleashed back then, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, were you on the job when Irma Ruiz got killed?
I was, yes. Irma worked in the youth division.
Was she officer killed?
She was not the first police officer killed. I believe Dorrell Brandon was the first policewoman killed. And she was killed in the 5th District, but she was, a 6th District officer. They were in 5 serving a warrant.
Uh-huh.
And or doing a controlled by one, I forget which, and she found herself inside a home as an undercover officer trying to do a controlled by. Things went south, and she was killed during
gun
battle.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you ever do any undercover stuff?
I didn't do. You know, I was asked if I wanted to do the Operation Angel stuff, where you pose as a lady of the night.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I was not comfortable.
You'd be good at that.
I wasn't comfortable doing that, so I turned them down on that one. But yeah, I know a lot of the women had fun doing that. But that I don't know.
Oh, that's funny.
I wasn't much of an actress back then.
Taking a break while I take a sip.
Yeah.
Any other undercover stuff? Well, you guys had to go buy drugs and stuff like that.
No, I didn't do that. I didn't work. I didn't work plain clothes. I didn't work the tag team in five.
Okay.
It was all patrol duties.
Yeah.
Until I became a detective in the youth division, and then we wore plain clothes and we, like I said, handled some rough cases, involving.
So,
children.
As a young woman, you got to be scared going out there every day.
You have to have a level of fearlessness to even want to take that job. And I think you have more of that. You don't have a sense of your own mortality when you're in your 20s.
Yeah, you don't.
I really believe you don't.
Yeah.
You never think that you're going to get hurt. You certainly never think you're going to get seriously hurt or killed. So I don't remember experiencing a lot of fear.
Okay.
Usually when an incident is over,
yeah,
and then you sit back. I was a smoker, and then everybody lights up and you stand around and you smoke your cigarette, and then you realize, holy cow, that was just some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Huh. And then how long before you became a sergeant?
I was on the job 15 years before I was promoted to sergeant. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And was that different?
Oh, sure it was. You don't have a partner anymore. The thing I missed most
I didn't know
that. The thing I missed most about being a sergeant is not having a partner.
Yeah.
Because I had some great partners along the way.
Yeah.
Kenny Burke, Vince Fagan, I'll, shout out a couple of them. And,
Vince?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Polish guys, Fagan and
Did you know Jimmy
Fagan
Loftus?
Burke. I sure did know Jimmy Loftus.
Well,
yeah,
my brother was married to his sister.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Because I seem to recall that Harold story. Maybe he told me that.
Maybe.
Or maybe he was the guy in the car. I don't know.
That could be, too. Like I said, I will neither confirm
Lofty,
nor deny.
Good guy.
Right, yeah.
But did he work in your district, Lofty?
He worked in the youth division. He was on a school car, so I would see him. Yeah, he was a uniform officer.
And eventually, I remember he got into financial crimes, which is
a
pretty easy gig.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I interrupted you. I didn't
miss it. That's
okay. Yeah. Take us back, Eileen, to those days.
Oh, gosh. I had a lot of fun as a sergeant, too. I liked supervising young police officers.
Oh.
Not only are you looking out for their
physical well-being. Well, how old were
physical
you?
Well-being.
You were in your 40s
Let's see. I was 30. My math is terrible.
But they weren't that much younger than you, right?
37 or 8.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you've been around the block because you've been on the force for dozen, 15 years.
Right, because I started.
Any
young.
Of them kind of, hey, some chick's not going to be giving me.
Yeah, exactly. Like old-timer police officers, policemen, when they first see you, they don't want to take direction or take orders from a woman sergeant.
Yeah.
But again, it's how you carry yourself and how you treat other people and you gain their respect along the way. So I like to think I did that, and I always tried to look out for my people. I always like to try to look out for other police officers, not only on the street, but their emotional well-being, which is a huge issue, as we know,
especially now,
right?
Yeah.
So I got involved in the peer support program early on. I was in the very first class that was trained, training police officers basically to be good listeners and to recognize when officers might be in distress, and to be a resource to make referrals for other resources that are available to police officers, because suicide among Chicago police officers is the rate of
60% higher than any place else.
Three times higher than anyone
it's
else.
Terrible.
And that's a serious problem.
Now, why is that? Is Chicago a tougher beat, or is it because of the media and the politicians here, or down on the police, or say whatever you want.
Yeah, there's a myriad of reasons, and a lot of it is there's no support for police anymore. I felt supported when I was a young officer. I was supported by my frontline supervisors. I was supported by my WASH commanders and my district commanders. I felt supported by even the brass, you know, to a degree. Definitely supported by my partners. Now, that support is still there on the police department. And I felt supported by the citizens.
Right.
And that's the biggest disappointment, that all officers don't feel supported by the citizens.
We had a paramedic on here a couple of weeks ago was telling us about the night that there were so many shootings in the summer. He was trying to help a guy who had, been shot, and the people come from the neighborhood are attacking him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Right.
So it's a lot tougher to be a cop these days, it seems. And it seems to me there is a culture, and that's one of the reasons that we want to honor first responders. There's a culture that is anti-cop, and I think that's terrible, you know, and it's scary.
It is terrible, and no one is standing up to that voice, that anti-cop voice, that anti-cop narrative. There aren't too many. There's no, the politicians and our leaders aren't standing up to that, saying, hey, wait a minute.
I got a funny story for you. I went to a mayoral forum at Bourbon Street. I think it was Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And not all the candidates were there, but Paul Vallis was there and Bob Fioretti was there. And this kid Kozlar, do you know who he is? He's running for. He's from Canaryville. He was very impressive. And Jerry Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Willie Wilson is there.
Yes.
Okay, so you can imagine the audience. I mean, there's not one black face in the audience.
Right.
And these are hardcore Southsiders, and they're talking about, what about the cops, and why aren't they hiring more cops? And Willie Wilson goes, I don't want any more cops. It's like, what?
Wow.
And he says, I get a lot of people out of jail, and I don't think most people who are in jail should be there because they didn't do anything wrong. And it was like,
wow.
Are you crazy? Yeah. First of all, this is the wrong room to be saying that.
Right.
But he just said it, and he goes, I don't care. I'll tell it like it is. And I thought, well, I don't think that's going to fly, doctor.
Right,
But the people actually think like that. That's what's frightening, you know.
They do think like that. You know, there's a researcher named Charles Webb, and if you'll indulge me, there's a my famous quote that I came across a while ago, and I refer to it often. He says, there's no nice way to arrest a potentially dangerous combative suspect.
Yeah.
The police are our bodyguards, our hired fists, batons, and guns. We pay them to do the dirty work of protecting us. The work that citizens are too afraid, too unskilled, or too civilized to do themselves.
Yeah.
We expect them to keep the bad guys out of our businesses, out of our cars, and out of our houses, and out of our faces. We just don't want to see how it's done.
Yeah.
And the problem with all the cameras is that now,
sure,
for the first time, people are seeing how dirty and low down police work is.
Yeah.
And there's no nice way.
Right,
there's
in the
no
trenches.
Nice way to do it. You can't coax somebody into handcuffs.
No.
You can't nicely ask them, to put down their gun and stop sticking people up. Police work is dirty work.
Yeah.
It's physical work.
Now they want you to ask permission to arrest somebody. It's insane.
Right. It is insane. But they still want to keep the wolf from the door.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But they have no idea how it is done.
There was a news story the other night, and they referred to a burglar as an unwelcome visitor.
Yes, I was hoping they were sarcastic.
Believe it. It's like, this is a burglar.
Right.
I broke into the house.
Right.
Unwelcome visitor.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. So what about guns? Is it... one of the things Rahm Emanuel keeps talking about is get the guns off. I think criminals will find guns. You know, they're not applying for licenses for guns.
No, the bad guys don't. They don't care about any of the gun laws. Right.
Yeah.
They don't care about the gun laws.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And police officers take hundreds, thousands of guns off the street every year. So all the laws in the world don't keep them out of the hands of the bad guys.
How'd you like Eddie Burke, who was the big gun control guy, and he had 23 guns in his office?
Maybe that's the fact that he's a former police officer, because never tear the guns from the hands of a police officer, no matter how long it's been since they've been on the job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, how long was he a cop? Well, he was a cop.
Briefly. Yeah.
His brother or his dad was the alderman. Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
His dad was the alderman and died in office, and then he became the alderman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he's having a tough time of it, and I wish him well.
Yes.
All right, so did you get married and raise kids and all that?
I did get married after I was on the job for a couple of years, and I have two wonderful sons. And
did
then
you marry
I,
a police officer?
I did not marry a police officer, oh. And then I got divorced, as so many police officers yeah, do, and then yeah. I tried it again, and that one was a police officer, and that didn't last long either. So, yeah, I'm not very good at marriage. Okay. I'm getting pretty darn good at divorce, though. But I have two great sons, and you know...
How old are your sons?
They're 34 and 33 years old now. Yeah, my oldest
they're
is
not
married.
Interested
Dominic.
In being cops, are they?
They never were interested in being cops. A number of years ago, the test was coming up, and I said, Dominic, Danny, yeah. are you interested in, you know, taking the test for the police officer? I said, Mom, you always told us that you didn't want us to be cops.
Yes, yeah.
I said, oh, I did, and you were listening? So, no, they didn't have any desire. But they were, you know, they were so supportive on, because I had a few bad days on the police department.
I can imagine.
There are a few, you know, a few bad moments, and you come home, and you can't bottle that stuff up. That's part of the problem, the police officers who bottle everything up.
Yeah.
So my two boys were really good huggers, and I got great hugs from them on the bad days.
Mm-hmm. So what? Any crazy? What's the craziest thing that ever happened out on the streets of Chicago, Eileen?
You know, most of the crazy stuff can't be repeated, even on
a radio
show such as yours, Mike.
Okay.
So I tried to keep it to the few funny stories like the Herald Chickenmobile and
okay.
Because most the things that come to mind are usually the bad memories. I try not to dwell on those. You remember a few of the funny stories, but everything that we think was routine is outrageous to other people.
Yeah.
So like
like the guy on the toilet
I was talking about earlier. Yeah. Yeah, somebody was talking about today about a dead guy on a toilet at O'Hare Airport and how, they couldn't believe they saw, a dead man on a toilet. And another police officer and I looked at each other and he said, how many dead people have you seen on toilets? Plenty. we've seen a lot of dead people on toilets. And that was just part of a normal day.
Yeah.
We didn't even go home and talk about that one. That was just
par for the course. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's all kinds of things like that just went along with the, with your day. And, but there's a cumulative effect to that.
Sure it is.
You
get
really
inured to it, and that's what's scary
about
it.
That is scary. So police officers have to learn how to talk about what's going on with them. And the misconception that only other cops know what cops go through, there's some truth to that. But your partner, your spouse, your adult children, whoever it may be, they may not understand what it is that you do or what it is that you saw, but they understand the emotions behind it.
Yeah.
And so they can listen. They can, so take advantage of those people close to you. I would tell other, young police officers, take advantage of the people who are willing to listen and let them know, what's going on. Don't bottle this stuff up.
Now, we've had Pat Johnson on our other show, and he's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
He's
a great guy. Mm-hmm. You were in the hospital the night he got shot.
I was at the hospital the night he was shot, He worked in the 9th District, and it was a terrible situation. I wasn't working at the time he was shot. I was working the following shift, so our watch commander was sending
everybody
of the supervisors
over there
to be of any assistance to. And I remember being in Pat's room, and he opened up his eyes for a second and said, "Sergeant Guest, what are you doing here?" I'm like, "Go back to sleep, Pat."
Now, how long have you been? When did you leave the police force?
2012, 6.5 years.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they had that big incident out at Mercy Hospital, did your ears perk up?
At the time, I was working a part-time job at Columbia College in the South Loop, and we have a scanner in our command center there.
Oh, yeah.
And I heard the whole thing unfold as it was happening on the police scanner. It was terrible, and I immediately was texting my sister, who was a nurse at Mercy Hospital for many years, and she was texting her friends who were in the hospital at the time, and some of them were saying that they were, sheltering in place, and
that was a scary
situation. Unfortunately, we lost one of.
Did
of
you
our
know Paul
officer,
Bauer,
Officer Jimenez,
Commander?
I knew Paul. I didn't know him personally, but he was a face that I saw a lot, because
his wife worked for Skinny.
Yeah, I know that, right?
Aaron,
yeah.
And you know what is great? I mean, it's terrible when that stuff happens, but the way the city rallies around the family. And we've had Joe Ahern on our show several times. He'll be back again. And he's the president of the 100 Club.
Yes.
So he goes and meets the widow and gives him a check for $50,000 right after it happens.
Yeah.
I think that's terrific.
It is terrific. There's no brotherhood like the police department and the police department supporters. You know, there are some, and we have to remember that, you know, we do have some support out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like the 100 Club, wonderful organization.
What about being an Irish person in the police force? Is there a special kinship with the Irish and police?
There are still a number of us, as you know. There's still a number of police officers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I like to look, you know, I still check name tags and see, my fellow police officers are. And
yeah.
mm-hmm. I was the only one in my family, though. You know, I had a couple cousins, like a couple of my father's.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two sisters and two brothers. And
where are you in there?
I'm in the middle.
Okay.
My two older sisters, Mary Ellen and Kathy, two younger brothers, Tim and Pat.
Yeah.
You know, all the non-Irish names, you know. Eileen in the middle. And I was the only police officer. They thought I was crazy. You know, we have nurses. We have a water department and other city workers in our family, but I was the only police officer.
So in this,
my brother told me that the two happiest days for him were the day I got on the job and the day I retired.
Oh, of course it
you know,
was.
You don't realize how much your family worries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got this new, I don't know if you can talk about it,
sure.
but you have a new job. You're still a cop.
I am. It's just policey enough, Mike, without being, too policey. I took a job with...
It's just policey enough.
Just policey enough.
Yeah.
With the Department of Aviation Security.
That's terrific.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
I'm a sergeant again. Or still. I'm still Sergeant Guest.
When did you get into the Irish music? Because you've been Irish.
I've been singing since I was a little girl. My dad was a great singer, and he and I would sing together, and he would sing some of the Irish songs. And
is he from the old country?
He's not. All my grandparents are from the old country. Yeah.
Yeah.
All from County Kerry, mostly. A few from Cork. So the Irish music came later.
Oh, it did.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've been playing with Jimmy Clooney in a long time. He's been on the show.
Jim's a great guy. I have another little band of my own called The Holdouts. We're an acoustic acoustic trio. We do mostly classic rock
Who's
covers.
Who's in that?
Two brothers named McNaughton.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, Rory and Bob McNaughton. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, you've eaten up our time completely.
Good.
You've been great. Stay safe out there.
Thanks,
all right,
Mike. Thanks
Eileen,
so much.
God bless you so much.
God bless
we
you.
We salute
bless,
you here.
Thank you.
On
and God bless the men and women of the Chicago Police Department.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are we going to take another little break here on the Hibernian Radio Show? We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982, when they started their first store, where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today available at your local grocery store.
Hey, you know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue and I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons, I see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. He says to me, "Hey, holy, who died?" Well, the big death, well, not big, no one's bigger than anyone in death, was Father Tom Hurley's dad, Dr. John Joseph Jack Hurley, 92, God bless him. He was the beloved husband of Mary Ann for 66 years, the loving father of John, Joe, the late Scott, the late Annie, Bridget, the late infant Michael, Dan, Katie, Father Tom Hurley, and Terry. Father Hurley was a proud graduate of St. Columbanus Parish Grammar School, St. Ignatius High School, Loyola University, and University College Galway Medical School. Dr. Hurley faithfully served on the staff of Little Company of Mary Hospital for over 60 years. He's remembered with love and affection by countless patients, medical colleagues, employees, and the sisters of the Little Company of Mary. Longtime member of the American Academy of Family Physicians, he was the proud director of Little Company of Mary Mobile Medical Care and a faithful member of St. Cajetan's Parish for over 58 years. And they had an interesting thing that his mass was yesterday, and they live-streamed his funeral mass from Old St. Pat's, and I guess they had over 1,000 people tuning in. So he touched a lot of lives, God bless him. So say a prayer for Father Jack Hurley. And also, Don Carroll, Donald C. Carroll, 86, a resident of Schaumburg, formerly of Forest Park, where I'm moving in May, and Chicago. He was born in 1934. He leaves behind his loving wife for 53 years, Lorraine, his adoring daughter Lisa, and beloved sons Don and Chris. Don was a retired industrial and commercial real estate appraiser. He proudly served in the United States Army in Korea. He was an avid reader, loved history, and enjoyed traveling, especially to Ireland and Paris. Above all, he was always there for his children and his grandchildren. A memorial service will be planned for a later date. God rest his soul, Don Carroll. So let's close up the crypt this week, and we'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
You know, I also want to give a shout out to our pal Cliff Carlson. The Irish American News is bringing you the news, the important news, to the Irish in Chicagoland for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News. It's usually free in most pubs, although we're at Lizzie's tonight and they only have last month's. Hey, Cliff, get on that, will you? To advertise or subscribe, call Cliff at 847-872-0700 or email cliff@irishamericannews.com. Okay, now, you know, we're very involved with the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which is a very great and probably the oldest Irish Catholic organization in the world. And we're real honored to be connected to Division 59 out on the south side and Division 32 on the north side. They asked me to announce on Sunday, January 27th, the Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament at Sixpenny Bit Pub. Maybe our friend Maeve Burke will be bartending there. 5800 West Montrose. Sunday, January 27th, Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament, Sixpenny Pit Pub, 5800 West Montrose. We held to benefit the Freedom Fund for All Ireland. The starting time is 1:30 with a $50 buy-in. The event's run by Kevin and Brendan O'Malley of Division 32 of the AOH. Kevin runs he's the president of the AOH there. All are welcome to play and support the Freedom Fund for All Ireland on Sunday, January 27th. Get over there. You'll have a blast. I know you will. And any other plugs I got to get in here? Billy. So great to be connected to the Hibernians, I'll tell you that. It's just a terrific organization. So we're going to take a break here on the Hibernian Radio Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends. With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150. There's only one Irish pub on the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian Radio Show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal, Hooley. Thanks.
Deep, deep in deep, the south deep, side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep, deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dak.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bunks and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This
yeah.
Is almost 70 years we're talking.
70 when years?
The what?
Oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
My.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome, crazy, silly screw.
Have a seat. Known as Hoolytown. Welcome to Hoolytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hoolytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
And we're back on Hibernian Radio. Another great night here at Lizzie McNeil's. And give a big shout out to our pal Johnny Wren. Come on by some Wednesday night and join us. It's just cozy as heck here. We're having a couple of pints and just relaxing here at Lizzie's. But I wish you could please, Billy, give me a hand with this door. Push it. Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani will announce an engagement soon.
Who cares?
To Catch a Predator host Chris Hansen arrested and charged with bouncing checks.
Who cares?
Leah Remini attorney in A&E accused of inciting murder by the Church of Scientology.
Who cares?
Jersey Shore cast sends love to Mike the Situation Sorrentino as he begins prison sentence.
Who cares?
Kim Kardashian gushes over the sweetest baby in the world, Chicago, on her first birthday. Mommy and Daddy love you.
Who cares?
That's Kanye's baby, and he named his kid Chicago. Kim Kardashian confirms she's expecting her fourth child with husband Kanye West via surrogate. They're going to name him Robbins. Catherine Schwarzenegger predicted her relationship with Chris Pratt nearly a year before they met.
Who cares?
And finally, Jeff Bezos' raunchy text to his mistress revealed, I want to smell you.
Who cares?
Close it up! Push it. Don't let Jeff Bezos get out. He smells very bad. And let me get that latch at the top. Okay, thanks. Boy. So we're in Hooleytown now, folks. It's a very special place. And I want to give a shout-out to my old pal, Greg Holloman, for that great intro. And I forgot last week, Strangers was with Candy was the show that Greg was on for years. And he did a bang-up job for that intro, so I hope you folks like it. Okay, I got a couple of stories here. This is one that Eileen may even know about. This happened over at St. Barnabas a couple of weeks ago. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Everybody in Beverly woke up early, and they all went to Mass. And before the service starts, the people are sitting in their pews, and they're talking about their lives and their families. And suddenly, at the altar, Satan appears. Everyone starts screaming and running for the entrance, trampling each other to get away from Satan. Soon, everyone in the joint has evacuated from the church except for one man who sits calmly in his pew, seemingly oblivious to the fact that God's worst enemy is in his presence. This confuses Satan. He walks over to the guy and says, hey, don't you know who I am? And the guy says, yeah, sure do. You're Satan. Satan says, well, aren't you afraid of me? Nope. I'm not. Satan seems perturbed and says, well, why aren't you afraid of me? And he goes, well, I've been married to your sister for the last 26 years. I love that. Okay. Here's another one. The banker saw his old friend Tom, an 80-year-old rancher in town. Tom had lost his wife a year or so before, and rumor had it that he was marrying a mail-order bride. Being a good friend, the banker asked Tom if the rumor was true. Tom assured him that it was. The banker then asked Tom the age of his new bride-to-be, and Tom proudly said, she'll be 21 in November. Now the banker, being the wise man that he was, could see that the sexual appetite of a young woman could not be satisfied by an 80-year-old. Wanting his old friend's remaining years to be happy, the banker tactfully suggested that Tom should consider getting a young hired hand to help him out on the ranch, knowing nature would take its own course. Tom thought that was a good idea, and he said he would look into it for one that afternoon. About 4 months later, the banker ran into Tom in town again, and he says, hey, how's the new wife? Tom probably said, good, she's pregnant. The banker, happy that his sage advice had worked out, considered, and how's the hired hand? And Tom said, yeah, she's pregnant too. Okay, having fun here in Hooleytown. Do I have time for one more? Let me just see here. Oh, this is pretty good. These are all kind of in the same vein this week. Jack and Bob went skiing. They went on a skiing trip, and after a few hours of driving north, they got caught up in a terrible, blizzard. And they pulled in the driveway of a farm owned by a very rich widow. They went to the door and asked the attractive lady who answered the door if they could spend the night there. Oh, it's such terrible weather out there, and I have this huge house all to myself, but I am newly widowed, and I'm afraid of what the neighbors will say if I let two attractive young men stay in my house. Don't worry, Jack said. We'll be happy to just sleep in the barn, and if the weather breaks, we'll be out of here at first light in the morning. So the lady agreed, and the two men went in the barn and went to sleep. And the next morning, they hit the road immediately on first light. 9 months later, Jack got a letter from an attorney. Took him a few minutes to figure it out, and he finally determined it was the attorney of the attractive widow from where they had stayed with during the storm. He drove to see his friend, and he said, "Hey, Bob, remember that 9 months ago when we went skiing and slept over at that beautiful widow's barn to stay out of the bad weather?" "Yes, I do," said Bob. "Well, did you get up in the middle of the night and pay her a visit at the house and stay overnight?" Bob, getting a little embarrassed, kind of sheepishly confirmed, yeah, that's what happened. "And did you happen to use my name while you were with her?" "I'm sorry, buddy. I'm afraid I did," replied Bob, whose face turned red by now. "Why do you ask?" "She just sent me. She just died and left me everything." Okay. I screwed that up. Okay. I get carried away, folks. What can I tell you? Hey, we need to take a break here on Hibernian Radio. Thanks for sticking around and enjoying the show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell him Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did.
World apart is a shining pony, one-horned romantic of old stories, dining on landscapes and on sea breezes, while we rest on seats with the other creatures. We are benched by the life of Riley, forbidden to promise freely on lost subjects of the open-hearted, till nothing could be said but she. Friends for life, oh, friends for life, oh, pining in the night I see stand, with each noise that once rattled a piece of, I now wing a net with these, well, this spring could be stepmaster of peace until held hands keep us swooping in hunger, torpedo mighty. Moonlight hunters, treetops swaying, and far beyond view, where she may sleep and feast far from you. Friends for life, oh, friends for life. But you're a tearaway, gonna run off in the night. You're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now it's time to celebrate the world. The world you leave behind, let's celebrate. Oh, 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 friends for life. For? Do I wish for gold? Do I try to do my best what I am told? Or do I rebel with a battle cry when to add more tears in this world's not right? No, I will the music's loud, where the campfires warm up the screaming crowd, where the girls dance in the hot lights on, to add more tears in this world's not right. So put your chair away, gonna run off in the night, you're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spine. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind. Let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. And the girls in the balcony let down their hair, and the boys in the cheap seats have to stop and stare. And the girls in the cheap seats held out their hand, oh boy, if you love that girl, you better make your stand. That's right. It's your tear away, gonna run off in the night, you're gonna leave that girl smiling in the shadow of the spike. You're on your way to somewhere, gonna leave no one behind. Now's the time to celebrate the world you leave behind. So let's celebrate. Oh, ground that we're waltzing on, and holding fortunes in each palm. What's holding us together is just imagination. What's holding us together is just imagination. Friends for life.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind, and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRocque, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
And we're back. Hibernian Radio. So proud to be able to say Hibernian Radio, I got to tell you. And that's because it's produced by Hibernian Transmedia, our 501c3, our public charity dedicated to preserving and promoting Irish and Irish American culture here and all over the world. We do two radio shows. We have a film festival we do every September at the Gene Siskel Film Center. We're all going to Ireland in October. Oh, there's a big announcement. We're going to Ireland October 11th to the 19th with Liam Durkin. You know Liam, Eileen? So we are taking Liam to Ireland with us. It'll be his first trip to Ireland. He's just a terrific young man and a great, big,
bundle of talent, no question about it. It reminds me of Patty Riley and Gordon Lightfoot, and just a terrific voice. And it'll be his first trip to Ireland. I think his folks are going. So if you want to get in on that, stay tuned, because we'll be giving you more information about it. We should have room for, about 40 or 50 of you if you want to come with. Be the time of your lives, I can guarantee it. Also want to thank, once again, Lizzie's McNeil's Integrated Office Suites. Local 150, Jimmy Sweeney. God bless you, Jimmy. McCann's Irish Oatmeal, our old pal Ron Young, and Haggerty Buick GMC, Mike and Bill and Dick Haggerty. Sheehy Funeral Home, our old pal Bob Sheehy, and Concern Worldwide, terrific organization.
They say Irish women can be a strange blend of shyness, of pride and conceit, yet they have a stubborn refusal to bow in defeat. Their hate is as fierce as their devotion is grand, yet there is no middle ground on which they will stand. My family and friends tell me this sums me up exactly. I'm Carol Ann Gallagher. I am a proud Irish immigrant and now a partner at Dwyer & Coogan, a personal injury law firm here in Chicago. I was born and raised on a little island off the coast of Donegal. I studied and practiced law in Ireland before emigrating to Chicago 11 years ago, and I took up the practice of law here too. As a personal injury lawyer, I've been blessed to help those who find themselves in vulnerable and tragic circumstances. In my proud representation of families injured by the negligence of others, I've secured millions of dollars in verdicts and settlements for my clients. I can be your advocate. I can have your back. I will fight for you when you feel like you have no fight left within yourself. For more information, please go to my website at dwyercoogan.com or give me a call, Caroline Gallagher, at 312-543-4642. That's 312-543-4642. All of our consultations are free. Thanks for listening.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Hibernian Radio. So glad you're listening. I was talking to PGUD, the great PGUD, our Obit Scout, on the phone today, and I was talking to his lovely wife, Mary, and she quoted a poem to me. Oh, solitude, where are the charms that sages have seen in thy face? Yeah, you ain't kidding. You can have solitude. I'm getting real bored with it. But I do want to thank all our sponsors, and especially you, all you police, firefighters, and paramedics who are tuning in every week and making this show a success, but particularly McCann's Irish Oatmeal, our friend Ron Young, Bob Sheehy over at Sheehy and Sons Funeral Home, Johnny Wren and Johnny DePrima over at Lizzie McNeil's, Jim Sweeney at Local 150, Dick Haggerty and Billy Haggerty over at Mike Haggerty Buick GMC, Oldsmobile, and Volkswagen, and Caroline Gallagher, the greatest personal injury attorney in the world. She's our pal. So thankful to all those people, because, you know, this is tough times. President Trump seems to think we're going to get back by Easter. I sure hope so, because, as he said, the cure could be worse than the disease, because the economy. I think of all the pubs that closed, it's such a shame. And all the bartenders out of work and all the waitresses out of work, especially our friends at Lizzie's. We miss them all. And our pals at all the other pubs, like Cork and Kerry and all the other joints we hang out in. And all the joints that you guys hang out in, our Emerald Society friends, and Jeff Lang and all those guys, and Billy Donnelly and all our, you know, this is our tough time. So if you have faith and you have hope and you practice some charity, we'll get through this. So thanks so much for listening. Next week, I have no idea who's going to be on the show. I don't know what's going to happen. But it's all good, and really appreciate. You know, one thing I would like to remind everybody, if you do go to the podcast, hibernianradio.org, to listen to the show, I think there's a subscribe button on there. Subscribe, so we know you're there. We want to know who's listening. We want to make sure you know what's going on with the show. So click the subscribe button or the Facebook button or whatever button you see at hibernianradio.org. Please click it for me, will you? And I'll see you next week. God bless you all. Stay safe. See you later. Bye.
Well, I look down the road and I wonder.